Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
30 years of joyfulness. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM, all here in Accra. Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com. We're live in all 16 regions of the country. We're on Kaliawo FM in Akachi, Jubilee Radio in Keta, Lonlonyo FM in Hohoi. We're on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, office closures, stranded clients, and uncertainty looms as members of the Civil and Local Government Staff Association Locksack stage a strike over the appointment of the new registrar of births and deaths with no clear timeline for their return. Services remain at a standstill.
The Supreme Court is saying that the moment your political coloring becomes overt, stay away from the services.
We're live at their offices where some members have however defied the directive urging their leaders to rather fight for increased salaries and pension deductions. Also, Employment and Job Creation Minister backs revocation of last-minute recruitment directive, insisting its budget cannot support the numbers amid a minimum wage negotiation.
If we pay workers up to 10% of the present minimum wage, we will be looking for more than 4 billion Ghana cedis to make up the difference. So it's important for us to understand the whole scenario that is unfolding right now.
We'll get to hear from former Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia cautioning government about the move. Minority leader vows to block the presentation of the ad hoc committee's report on the January 30 chaos at the appointments committee until the speaker addresses his concerns.
The man was so prejudiced. He was all over on radio, TV, attacking me, attacking a minority, predetermining the matter. It's one of the sins he's committed. Now you could go and even say that you go ahead and do your report. Do your report. We'll all be in the chamber.
I take you live to Parliament, where the minority is demanding more answers from the Attorney General on the discontinuation of key cases and the contents of an alleged memo that recommended the scrapping of the trial of the acting Bank of Ghana governor.
An urgent question to invite him to brief us on the memo that he said the former AG overlooked.
The sports.
Well, MP for Ekuyapim North, Sami Ewuku, wants regulation to check the nearness of drinking baths and other recreational facilities to sports stadiums as Parliament debates football hooliganism.
And then critical questions remain regarding the NPP flagbearer role in the party's historic defeat in the 2024 elections, the effectiveness of the party agents during coalition, amongst others, coming up.
Situation that people come out to say, oh, Bawumia was responsible, 90% responsible for our loss. What happens? If that is the case, then it would be suicidal to repeat it.
What the NDC has taught us is that beyond the campaign, we should prepare to defend our ballot.
Also, no running away. Akufo-Addo urges ex-appointees to face accountability.
But then there is that disposition from the president, an indication that stay and make sure that you account for...
Oh, the former president you're talking about.
I'm talking about, yes. Oh, so given an indication...
That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for choosing us. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We're digging now in frustration mounts as clients seeking services from local government offices find themselves stranded due to an ongoing strike by Civil and Local Government Staff Association, CLOCSAG. The workers, we know, are demanding the removal of newly appointed birth and death registrar, Samola Dumboche, while government has been giving reasons for this particular appointment, insisting that due process was followed and the law was also backing that appointment. But Klocksak insists that Mr. Samuel Adumboche is politically tainted. We'll take you across the country for updates on the strike's impact, which began this morning. But first, Michael Ashali reports on the concerns raised by the association and government's response.
Mr. Boche is still at post performing official duty. The earlier notice of strike action on 20th February 2025
calls on members of Klocksak not to report to work today in compliance with the nationwide strike saturates the premises of the ministry's enclave. This comes on the heels of demands for the removal of births and deaths registrar Samuel Adumboche, whom they claim is politically exposed. Government, however, insists his appointment followed due process and remains open to dialogue. Here is Minister of Government Communication, Felix Kwachi Ofosu.
In this particular instance, the president has acted in accordance with Ghanaian law. And for that reason, there cannot be a reason why Mr. Adumboche should be removed.
But Klocksak remains firm in their demands. Executive Secretary Dr. Isaac Bampo Adu says Mr. Boche must go.
We all know that he's an NDC activist. And the Supreme Court is saying that the moment your political coloring becomes overt, stay away from the services.
He urges members to stay home to send a strong message to the presidency.
Sit down in the house and relax. Take some coffee and then watch Clock TV.
But Labour consultant Austin Gami is of the view that a strike isn't the solution and calls for dialogue to resolve the differences.
The approach is what should be a source of problem for even they themselves. That the way to go about this is not about going on strike. It's about engagement. It's about dialogue.
But will the dialogue proposed by the Labour expert work? Let's find out from our correspondents across the country about the impact of this particular action. I'll start off from Techiman, and my colleague Anas Sabit is in the Bunu East region and has been checking on this particular situation. Anas, so basically the executive is not allowing anyone who wills to work to do so. Why exactly?
Yes, our engagements with the regional secretary of Klocksak, we noticed that the instruction is from above according to him, and he has been going through the Metropolitan Assembly where I've been, and then the Regional Coordinating Council as well, to instruct members of Klocksak to leave office because of the strike. And so most of the offices, as I speak to you now, are closed. The few ones that are opened are virtually empty with no one available to attend to the members of the public who are here to assess the services of government services at the Assembly and then at the RCC level. So that is the situation. People are not happy with the situation, and we are unable to tell when the strike action will be over.
Well, that's my colleague Anas Sabit in Techiman giving us updates on the situation there. Let's check on the Savannah region. And my colleague Isaac Nonya has been following the situation. He's been to Klocksak offices and reports they are empty. What exactly can you report from where you've been so far, Isaac?
MFA here in Savannah region is the other way around. I'm currently at the West Gonja Minister Assembly. Earlier on, I was at the Regional Coordinating Council, where workers for both sides have reported. I will speak. It's almost time for them to go on break. A good number of them, almost all the offices, including the two senior officers, the Regional Coordinating Director, and then the municipal coordinating director. They are both in their offices. And here I can see officers coming out from our office trying to go on break. So work is ongoing here, and then people are coming for services and going out on the other way around.
Interesting. So are they not aware about the action that has been declared by their leadership? What have they been telling you?
They are aware. The regional officer of Klocksak here said that, well, they're ahead of the concern raised by the national secretary. But they are not going by that, because what matters to them is the battle issues. They should not talk about their salary and increment that they need over the years and some concerns regarding their service, condition of service. But this particular one, they are not with them. They disagree with that aspect.
That's Isaac Nonya giving us a situation in the Savannah region. It does appear that officials have defied this particular action declared by leadership. In the northern region, let's bring in my colleague Martina Bugri to give us updates on the situation. Martina, what can you tell us?
In the northern region, just like Isaac has reported, there's no strict compliance. You visit most of the offices and the workers are closed. They say they have more pressing and important issues that their leadership should be looking at the name conditions of service. And currently, even the pension scheme, they said they are being deducted some amount, which is in court. One other issue they mentioned was when the whole country was fighting Galamsey and they needed their leadership to lead them through a strike. They backed off. And so how can they trust them that it's not a personal issue that they are fighting, but it's the collective interest of members?
Because of the disappointment by the leadership of CLOSAG, it's difficult for us to have a strict enforcement of any strike going forward. Because at the time we needed leadership to stand in for us, that was the time leadership disappointed us.
When were you expecting leadership to stand for you that they didn't?
So at the time we were fighting Galamsey, leadership met, engaged with government leadership or representatives, and at the tail end, when we all expected that they will be declaring a strike, they disappeared by cancelling the strike. And so as a result, going forward, we felt that should you have a problem in your institution as a CLOSAG member, CLOSAG isn't going to stand in for you. Because even the authorities or leadership of CLOSAG had to run away from an earlier agreed strike.
Well, that's the situation in the northern region. Let me take you back to the capital here in Accra. And our checks at the Ministry, Environment, Science and Technology review. Only national service personnel and directors who work directly with the minister are at post. Stephen Mensah has been checking on the situation in the capital for us, joins us on the line. Stephen, tell me exactly where you've been and what you've witnessed so far.
Well, MFA, we have visited the Ministry of Environment, Science and Technology and the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, and the National Headquarters of CLOSAG. The place is practically deserted with only national service personnel and workers who work directly with the minister at post.
And I know you've been able to speak to some of the executives of CLOSAG. What have they told you?
Okay, so MFA, we're talking to some of the workers of CLOSAG, but they have great concerns about their leadership. They say the leaders should focus more on addressing their tier 3 payments and salary structure.
To our members, most of them have showed their displeasure about the strike in the fact that appointments of an individual who does not really have any direct impact or effect on their condition of service is irrelevant to them. And then they have pending issues before leadership, which leadership is not channeling its energy towards that effect. And also, most CLOSAG members who have attacked aggrieved CLOSAG members are already not happy with the fact that they've been deducted tier 3. And some, in this instance, it has even landed at the court of law. And still, the issue is ongoing. So it's like the situation of most CLOSAG members right now, most of them are bitter against their leadership.
We are thinking about the new salary structure, and most of us are not in favor of we are thinking about the condition of service and the new salary structure.
Well, so that's the situation when it comes to this particular action. We know that some members of CLOSAG have also actually issued a statement defying this particular action. But as we speak about it, at least these members are asking for a better wage in the midst of the new minimum wage, talks that are currently ongoing, the negotiation underway. We have the latest development on it. Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba joins me in studio. We have a new minimum wage?
Yes, we do. We do have a new one, and then we are told also that government has granted 10% base pay to public sector workers. Daily minimum wage increased from 18 cedis and 15 pesos to 19.97 cedis. And the effective date for that will be 1st March 2025. So 10% base pay increment to public sector workers. Daily minimum wage also increased from 18 cedis and 15 pesos to 19.97 cedis. Mm-hmm. And effective date 1st of March. Now we are told there appeared to be a deadlock in the initial stages of the negotiations by the presence of the president there today. day may have helped, you know, to ease the discussions and also help to come to this, you know, agreement. Also present were the Minister for Employment and Labour Relations. He was also there. The Finance Minister, Kasila Tufosin, you know, was also there. And we had representatives from the government side, employer organization, and an organized labour. They were also there. Now, the current national daily minimum wage stands at 18 cedis and 15 pesos, so roughly 363 cedis per month based on the 20 working day calculation. Now, this figure was set at the end of 2023 when the tripartite committee under the leadership of the former labor minister, Ignatius Balfour, agreed to a 22% increase. Now, that brought the wage up from 14 cedis and 80 pesos in 2023 to the 2024 figure. Now, looking back, the minimum wage has seen incremental rises over the past few years, a 6% increase in 2021, 8% in 2022, and 9% in 2023. The 2022% hike in 2024 was notably more, you know, substantial. Mm-hmm. But the news today is that 10% base pay increment, daily minimum wage also increased from 18 cedis and 15 pesos to 19 cedis.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah. Well, Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Akwegba giving us update on this. Of course, definitely the reactions that have been coming in. You've been speaking also.
Exactly. So we can hear from the Labour Minister, you know, making an announcement earlier.
An increase in the national daily minimum wage by 10% over the 2024 national daily minimum wage, which translates into a new national daily minimum wage of 19.97 Ghana cedis. The effective date for the implementation of the 2025 minimum wage shall be 1st of March 2025. All establishments, institutions, or organizations whose daily minimum wages are below the new rate should adjust accordingly. Effective.
That's the Minister for Labour, Employment and Job Creation, Dr. Rashid Pelpo there. Well, he's also been backing the controversial directive to revoke government appointment, arguing that the country's strained budget cannot sustain the growing wage bill. His stance comes as negotiations over this new minimum wage begins. He's been talking about it at least. Now we know where we are, 10% base pay increment, and then, of course, 19.9 cedis when it comes to the minimum wage. Well, we've been hearing from the former Vice President, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, on the revocation of this last-minute appointment. Here are excerpts of his statement read to you.
The government of President Mahama has pursued a series of actions targeting Ghanaians who were legitimately employed during the previous administration. It is ironic that a party who campaigned on the wings of jobs for all Ghanaians is arbitrarily dismissing the same Ghanaians, rendering them jobless just because a different government employed them to put their talents to bear on the nation's development and earn income to cater for themselves and their families. The least a party that campaigned on jobs could do under conditions of unemployment is to also innovate and create jobs rather than dismiss people.
Well, the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has also rejected the move. It follows that letter by the Ghana Education Service effecting the directive. The GAS in that statement dismissed teachers and non-teaching staff absent on its payroll. NAT is strongly against it. Listen to the president of the association, Reverend Isaac Owusu.
We find that letter inappropriate because of its content. So if the director general of GAS is saying that workers that have been recruited that are yet to be placed on the payroll. If you don't take care, you are going to pile pressure on the district and the regional directors of education.
Well, but government is resolute in its decision despite that petition from the minority leader, Fenyo Marking. Government Communications Minister Felix Kwachiofusu once again insists the opposition was not warned to pile up the numbers.
Whilst it is true that the tenure of the previous government ended on 6 January, it is also true that it was the incoming government that was going to bear the brunt in terms of remuneration and finding the money to pay these people. So surely they must have a say in how this is done. We requested for meetings, we requested for explanations. We said that they should at least hold on pending some consultation on the matter. They rebuffed it and said that they had the power to do so. And you recall that on 17 December 2024, I issued a statement on behalf of the NDC side of the transition team and indicated that given the frustration we had faced from government and its unwillingness to engage on the matter and our knowledge of the irregularities that afflict the recruitments going on, we were going to be left with no option than to reverse those decisions.
Well, that's the Minister of State in charge of Government Communications, Felix Kwachiofusu. So his stance is supported by the Labour, Employment and Job Creation Minister, Rashid Pelpo, who insists that prioritising fiscal discipline is non-negotiable as he begins those negotiations on the minimum wage, which we are now settled on.
The workers are asking for a certain amount of, a certain percentage for us to pay to them. If we pay workers up to 10% of the present minimum wage, we will be spending more than, we will be looking for more than 4 billion Ghana cedis to make up the difference of what we have now. It will be after all the internal, the revenue collected throughout the year, we would still need, and all the grants and everything, we would still need an addition of 4 billion in order if we want to pay workers up to 10%.
That's Employment and Labour Minister Dr. Rashid Pelpo there, and Maxwell Agbagba is still with me in the studios, and that meeting is now officially over. 10% base pay increment, 19.9 something CDs when it comes to minimum wage. I was hoping we'll get to like 25, but really you have more in terms of what's happening.
Yeah, we have more information coming from the presidency, and we're told that President John Mahama this morning joined the National Tripartite Committee meeting at the Ministry of Labour, Jobs and Employment, like we mentioned earlier. Is that this was before this morning's first cabinet meeting currently underway. Now, in his brief remarks, the president urged the labour unions to consider the dire state of the economy as they proceed with the wage negotiations. He promised them that if the economy bounced back, he would ensure higher remuneration for workers in the coming year. Now, he also spoke about the need to establish the Independent Emoluments Committee to determine the income of public sector workers. And yes, this is coming from the presidency.
And definitely we'll get more subsequently also on the polls on the Joy News channel at 3 p.m. We'll bring you more about it. But let me take you briefly to Parliament before we head on to the break here on the Midday News. And the minority leader, Alexander Fenyo Marking, has vowed to block the presentation of the ad hoc committee report on the January 30 chaos at the Appointments Committee until the Speaker of Parliament addresses his concern. The committee finished its work earlier this month, minus the testimony of the minority members, including its leader. Well, the report was laid last week pending formal presentation on the floor, but the minority leader insists any report without his side's inclusion will not be accepted.
Somebody has written to the appointor, the one who appointed you, questioning your independence, questioning your transparency. If you really want to do justice, you will recuse yourself. You won't go on a tangent still attacking. The man was so prejudiced. He was all over on radio, TV, attacking me, attacking a minority, predetermining the matter. So it's one of the sins he's committed. Now you could go and even say that you go ahead and do your report. Do your report. We'll all be in the chamber. We'll be in the chamber and come and tell the whole world that this is what you think.
Well, let me bring in Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwikwa Santi on this. When exactly are we expecting that the chairman will move that report that he's laid already?
So the chairman of the committee, just when I was stepping out, had just also taken his seat. He was in conversation with some other members of his committee. The report is yet to be laid, and last week he did seek the leave of the speaker to extend their timeline by one more week, which is past today. And we understand the committee's report is ready. He will be willing to lay it on the floor. And then ultimately, if the House so desires, the motion will be taken, it will be debated, and the decision expected to be taken today.
Okay, what else is expected, though, to happen?
Not much. They are currently doing statements about social justice, today being World Social Justice Day. But prior to that, there were commentaries about the delay in setting up the committees. It's been nearly 2 months since the 9th Parliament was sworn in. Committees have still not been instituted. The majority chief whip has been assuring that perhaps by close of next week, the committees will have been set up.
That's Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwikwa Santi. They're still in Parliament, though the minority is pressing the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayene, for answers on the discontinuation of key cases and content of an alleged memo that recommended the scrapping of the trial of the acting Bank of Ghana governor. Minority Leader Alexander Penyomakin says an urgent question has been filed.
An urgent question to invite him to brief us on the memo that he said the former AG overlooked. You know, the Attorney General said there was a memo that advised against the case of
Ghana Cocoa Board opening.
Against some individual.
Right.
So I have seen a question from one of our colleagues, and I believe that when he brings that memo, which he talks about, for us to interrogate as a House, we can put these matters to a peaceful rest.
Minority Leader Alexander Penyomakin there, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM. We are on Love 99.5 FM, myjoyonline.com. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. We took a trip to offices of the Civil and Local Government Staff Association, CLOCSAG, where it does appear that there's a defiance of that particular action that has been declared over the appointment of the new Register of Beds and Deaths, with no clear timeline for the return services at some point remain at a standstill. We return from the break, we have sport, and then those critical questions remain regarding the NPP flag bearer's role in the party's historic defeat in the 2024 elections. Please do stay with us. Thatcher Tamaklo is here with sports. What do we have?
Well, Member of Parliament for Ekuyapim North, Samia Wuku, wants the introduction of regulation to check the nearness between drinking bars and other recreational facilities and sports stadiums in the country. He made the comments as Parliament debated football hooliganism, its causes and effects, following the passing of Ifan of Kumasi Asante Kotoko.
Issue of citing drinking sports and beer bars around these stadia and sports facilities. One, you cannot enter the stadium with alcohol. But the people just take it before entering. So they enter, and the time that they reach that peak, that is when the match is also at this height. So one, we also have to be clear on the modalities and the guidelines and what we can also have around the various sporting facilities. Today we have a colleague down that I'm an unrepentant fan of Kumasi Asante Kotoko. But I also believe that in helping protect lives within the various precincts of our sports facilities, we have to look at the very things that are sited around it. Yes, you can have food joints, but the siting of sometimes some of these drinking bars is also a disturbance.
Samia Kuz is a member of Parliament for Ekuyapim.
They are selling beer in the stadium.
So the problem is not the intake of alcohol.
We see. Okay.
Yes.
Well, it was time for MNJ, but before then, there are some critical questions that remain regarding the NPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Balmier's role in the party's historic defeat in the 2024 elections. Well, the effectiveness of the party agents during collation and key revelations from the party's internal review of the election outcome as the NPP seeks to uncover the truth behind its loss. Well, we'll get to hear from the minority leader, amongst others. But NPP Director of Communications, Richard Ahiagba, has also revealed that ex-president Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo has directed his former appointees to remain available for any accountability processes.
While people will subject themselves to the law, but the NDC must operate with the law. Okay, they must deal with the law. Look at what is happening with special prosecutor going up and down about people being a fugitive. I mean, you can't say, right, but that's a preparatory
So he's urging all former appointees.
He's clear in his mind.
Right.
We came to do the best we can.
Mm.
And I believe that when the dust settles, Ghana will see what we have done for the 8 years of Akufo-Addo's.
Well, so that's the situation. Jackie, what are people talking about on social media?
Well, MFA, a lot is...
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.